You're listening to Face Off, episode 44, recorded November 23rd, 2009. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm Mark Sanborn.
And in this podcast, we talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. As always, you can view our show notes by going to faceoffshow.com. All right, well, I want to welcome our guest, Mark Sanborn. He's coming in via Skype this week from Barbados. How's the weather down there?
Well, it's there's a lot of work to be done down here in Barbados. Actually, I'm not in Barbados, but I've been having such a busy week moving our offices and things that I couldn't make it over to Bozeman and be in the studio with you.
I know.
So this is our first time doing the remote Skype thing.
Yeah, so if we end up interrupting each other, it's that, you know, 5-millisecond delay.
And that. But it seems to be all right, though.
I mean, you're doing pretty good. Sounds pretty good. So,
if the audio quality's off a little bit, that's kind of why.
Yeah.
But other than that, same show.
Yeah, same show, same stuff, right? Let's get into it. First, we want to give some shout-outs to some of our listeners. First, I want to give a shout-out to Tig Vallard, who is a coworker of mine. Tig was listening to the show, and he found one of our older episodes where we forgot to edit out some, like a part where we screwed up, and he let us know about that, and we fixed it, and we appreciate it. So thank you, Tig. You can see him.
Thanks, Tig.
Tigertown.net. We will put a link to his webpage in the show notes. And also, I want to give a shout out to Dave DeVos, who is a listener in Antwerp, Belgium. He let us know that Face Off Show reaches across the globe.
Yeah, in his email he wrote that he listens to it in his car like I do with other podcasts. And I think that's just really cool that we have listeners in Belgium. And I'd like to give him a thanks for listening and thanks for all of our listeners, but definitely the ones in the outer reaches of the globe.
Definitely. It was actually, you know, this just shows the power of the internet, social media, things like blogs and podcasts, just how useful and powerful they can be. I mean, two guys in Montana talking about web technology are being listened to by a guy in Antwerp, Belgium as he drives to work in the morning. So that's awesome.
And as he puts it, it's the motherland of chocolate and beer.
Ooh.
We have to make a trip over there.
You might have to make a trip to Antwerp, yeah. All right. Well, so then, yeah, like Mark said, thank you to all our listeners. We always appreciate it. Love to hear from you guys. Go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. You can leave voicemails on our phone numbers. You can leave comments. You can tweet us out. Anything. We appreciate it. We'd love to hear from you guys. Always appreciated. Let's get into our web apps, Mark.
Our first web app, what do we got here? All right, there's the delay.
Yeah, it's going to bite us a couple times, that's for sure. The first web app we're going to talk about is Yast, which is a web app that just helps you track your time. What are you working on? You log in with your username and password, and you put in different projects. And as you're working on a certain project, you just hit the little sort of play button, and it records how much time you spend on it while you're working on it. When you get done, you come and hit stop, and then you can get all kinds of reports and information as to how much time you're spending on certain things. It's very simple, very handy, great interface. I like it. What are your thoughts?
It looks very simple. They're saying it takes 8 seconds to sign up. Does it really? I mean, I haven't signed up yet.
Yeah, it's fast.
Is it fast?
Totally.
Nice.
They don't lie. It's really simple. And I mean, sometimes I found the interface gets a little wonky with like my netbook, especially if the internet gets a little slow. But that's, you know, very, very few and far between when it does happen. It is. It's a really simple interface. You add all the projects that you're working on. And then just as you work on a certain project, you just hit play or the play button and it records your time on. It's really simple.
Cool. So, yeah, it looks like I can just click my mouse and like drag to the right. And then like for the time I want, whether it be 15 minutes or an hour or whatever. And you can, and then you write what kind of, you like put a comment in here of what you did during that time period.
Yeah. So cool. you can edit the time afterwards. Like last night I was working on Face Off stuff and I had Face Off in there and I over-recorded my time. So I could just take my slider and slide it back and stuff like that. So really simple, really easy to do. But I've been looking at ways of trying to track my time lately. I know a couple, like one of my coworkers has this crazy like plugin set for Emacs that he uses to keep track of it. It looks really cool, but I want something like that, but without the Emacs-ness of it.
Yeah, you don't want to have to learn Emacs just to track your time.
Totally.
That's for sure. But if you're already an Emacs user, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And he is definitely an Emacs user.
It's like us and Vimperator.
Yeah, totally. So check it out, yes.com. It's in beta. I have a feeling, I mean, based on the feature set, they either are going to come out with like iPhone and Android apps, or they have some more features in stock that are coming, because it's so simple, there has to be a little bit more to it, you know? You mm-hmm. feel like there has to be a little bit something more to it. So check it out, yast.com. All right, so the next web app we want to talk about is called LocaFollow, and it's a web app that helps you find tweeters in your area.
Tweeters?
Yeah, so you know, on Twitter, one of the things I really wanted to do once I first got on Twitter was to find people in my area. I was always, not, you know, for information's sake, but also just curious of how many people around me are in social media, you know, especially mm-hmm. coming from a town like Bozeman, which, you know, is fairly technology savvy, but it still is, you know, kind of, you know, in rural Montana.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that, I mean, that's what Twitter's all about, is connecting with people that you might not normally get to connect
with. Totally.
You know? And finding people in your local area that has similar interests as you. I didn't even know there were some of the people that do some amazing things in Bozeman. I didn't even know that they existed.
Yeah. So it's a great way to get a connection to other businesses, do some networking, and just find out cool stuff that's in your city. So it's really exciting. You go there, there's things you can search for. You can just search for stuff in people's bio. You can search for stuff specifically in their location field. You can search just by their name or search just in their tweets. And it's, you know, by default, when you go there, it kind of detects what city you're in and shows you what tweeters they can find in your location right there. So, I mean, here's like, you know, of course, the local newspaper, local TV station, and then, you know, hockey teams and all kinds of stuff.
So you can put in, basically just put in your city name and it shows people that have that city in their bio of Twitter.
Yeah, totally.
It's really that simple. So and their latest tweet, that's cool.
Yeah. And so, like, let's say you want to, you know, let's say I'm going to name a place. I'm going to Idaho Falls, you know, next week. Like, let's see if we can find some cool businesses or people in Idaho Falls. You know, you can go up to the top and change your search parameter and check it out there. And, you know, browse places. Like, let's say you want to get a feel for a place before you head there. Go see, you know, what the tweeters are talking about. See what you can find.
Definitely. Yeah, if you're traveling and you're going to a new city and want to check out some of the local things, like you might find somebody saying, oh, I just ate some food at this amazing restaurant, you should check it out. And then you're eating where the locals eat.
Absolutely. And that's, we all know that's the best place. I always think with my stomach, so I'm surprised I didn't think of that. When you do search, it gives you some basic information about them, like the number of people they're following, the number of followers, so you can try and find spam accounts, the number of tweets they've made. Like, boy, the Idaho Falls weather Twitter account has 2,004 tweets. That's, you know, that's a lot of tweets, but only 165 followers.
Well, they might be doing like a lot of status updates, you know, a lot of weather things throughout the day, and that can add up to a lot.
Yeah, but check it out. Anyways, check it out. LocaFollow. It's a cool way to kind of see things.
There's happen. That droid going off.
Yeah, like those droids. You got to watch it. They'll sit and bleep and bloop all day. Let's do a follow-up, actually. I mean, we've had them now for a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was listening to our own episode about the droid just on my way in my car on my way home.
No way.
And we just got them not too long ago, and we were saying how we kind of liked them, and now we've got a chance to play with them. I mean, what do you think about yours?
I love it. I think it's a great phone. I mean, I've had a couple little problems so far, like a couple times, a couple freeze-ups, but really not enough that it has me not liking it. I came from a Windows Mobile phone too. So, I've had a Windows Mobile smartphone probably for the past, in one form or the other, for the past 6 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this was a breath of fresh air for me. It's very cute UI, very smooth, very clean, well-built. But I don't know. I've heard some other people that got a Droid who used to have just sort of your regular, like, you know, tried and true cell phone, who weren't quite as excited about it. What are your thoughts?
Well, two things that I've kind of been, it's been on my mind since I've got it. One is that I'm still babying it. I'm still not just throwing it in my pocket. You know, I'm kind of trying to keep it out and, you know, kind of babying it. I need to get one of those screen protectors or something and just get over that. The other thing is the battery life is just strange to me. Sometimes it's quick and easy. It's gone because maybe I'm browsing the internet too much or doing something. Totally. And then other times, I mean, like right now, I have a full battery and it's been all day and I've been using it and looking at it and stuff. So
it gets tricky too. Sometimes I slept and then I woke up the next morning and it had like about half battery, you know? And I was like, oh, that should be enough for the rest of the day. Nuh-uh. It just killed it. I mean, I've just gotten into the habit of charging it every night.
Right.
No matter what.
I think part of it too is some you might leave an app running or something that you forgot about. You got to be careful.
Oh yeah,
of that.
There's like a Flixster movie app that I downloaded and it was playing with, and then it killed my battery in like 4 hours. Because this is a cool part about the Droid. There is actually in the operating system. Oh goodness, Mark, will you shut that thing off?
It makes noises too.
There's actually it's built into the operating system for you to see which app is taking up the battery. So sometimes, like most of the time, your screen takes up most of your battery because it's got to be bright. It's very crisp. And just in general, that's the thing that's going to be using the most battery, especially if you use it a lot. You know, if you're just even text messaging a lot, that screen is going to be what's chewing up your battery. But this app, it was crazy. The screen was like this tiny sliver, and it was like this Flixster movie app took up all your battery. I think because it was trying to get my GPS location constantly. And it was just a really poorly written app, which is kind of sad, which is one of the sort of complaints I have is that being it isn't a moderated app store like Apple, which has its pros and cons, the pro being that anybody can make an app and the company, you know, Google doesn't restrict what's up there, which is great. It's very free. But at the same time, it really allows people to put very unpolished apps or apps that act badly, like this movie app. You know, it shouldn't act that way.
But it allows you to see the battery usage and things, so that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, overall, so
you can stop those types of apps.
And the truth is, I don't use a lot of apps. I mean, what I really use it for is basic phone functions and surfing the web. And those were great. Anybody I've heard has had complaints is usually about, like I said, like apps that are really unfinished and unprofessional. But if you're not doing that, and I'm not a whole lot, there's no point to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's the Droid. We'll get back to our web apps.
Yeah, I'm actually going to write a full review for it on jaderobbins.com. Hopefully, that'll be up soon because some people I know wanted to know what I thought of it. So I'll get that up there. Hey, if you have a news or follow up or web app that you want us to take a look at, or just even want to tell us some ideas for topics or anything, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Let us know in any way, shape, or form. We'd love to hear from you guys, and we love to do what you tell us to do, which has been the case. We've actually had some really good suggestions lately, and we're trying to incorporate them. But
yes, we have very smart followers, very attentive.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, so let's get into our topic this week. This is a topic I'm really excited about. It's CSS grid-based frameworks. All right, so Mark, we've been playing a little bit with some grid-based CSS frameworks. What is your favorite?
Well, I've been using 960 grid system.
Okay.
I've used Blueprint, which we'll talk about that one too. Well, I mean, before we get in there, why should I even worry about a CSS framework? Why shouldn't I just do it from scratch?
Well, you can. There's absolutely no problem doing that. But oftentimes, they're just simple little things about CSS that can be a big pain in the butt. These can make a lot easier for you. These are grid-based CSS frameworks. So the way they work is you sort of set up this grid system. They differ from framework to framework. And you kind of say that you want to set up a div that spans this many grids and allows you to make basically column-based layouts really easily.
Okay. And they're tableless. When you say grids, they're not like a big giant table.
Exactly. And that's how most people have done grids. Like if you want to do a 3-column layout, you did, you know, 3 columns and a table.
Or you did the divs by hand, which is okay. But like you said, there's some advantages like cross-browser compatibility. You don't have to, you know, of course you can make your own solution that's cross-browser, but these are cross-browser out of the box. You just put your little grid areas in and away you go.
like we talk about frameworks in general, you know, we talk about them quite a bit, but you lose usually some flexibility and there's a learning curve for having this sort of collective knowledge of these people building a framework, you know, assuming I'm assuming, and I think I'm correct, that the people who are making these CSS frameworks are much smarter and more experienced than I am at it. So you get that ability. I mean, it's a lot of work, and some of them, such as Blueprint and another one and YUI, have other things too. They don't just do the grid. Like they do, you know, basic resets and some smart sort of defaults for CSS for you to make it easier for you in general. So that's just less stuff you have to do anyways.
Yeah, like Blueprint changes like some of the font stacks and some of the form elements and some things for you. That makes it just look a little bit better in general.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, and then, I mean, one of the other criticisms is, you know, you have a little bit more CSS because you're, I mean, it could potentially be adding features that you may or may not use.
Oh, yeah, that's
so you might have some extra code that you didn't need, but that, I mean, that's about it. There's really...
Yeah, and I mean, most of these, you download them and they're all minified for you in anyways. It's almost negligible, I would say.
And then, you know, you just add them to your site and it helps you get your site up and running a little bit faster. I don't want to say it's rapid, it's for rapid development, but it definitely makes development very rapid.
Yeah. I see what you're saying there. Okay. So let's get into them. Let's talk about the first one on our list, which is my choice for development, Blueprint CSS framework. Why I like Blueprint, I think it's very quick to learn. It didn't take me very long. I did one project in it, and I really just kind of had to grab the cheat sheet and get at it, and I felt like I'm very good at it now. Like I said, it comes with a reset style sheet, which basically kind of cleans the slate across browsers for you, because we know sometimes there's different margins and stuff depending on which browser you're in. And then it has like a typography CSS sheet, which, you know, sets up sort of sensible defaults for your typography to make your things very readable, clear. And it also comes with a print style sheet, which is really great. The print style sheet is very detailed. There's certain things, like if there's a link in it, it puts the actual URL of the link after the link when you print it. Because, you know, when you print, like if there's a hyperlink on the page, it's like, great, that's helpful. I have no clue where that's going.
That's a very good point. I didn't think about that. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
So it comes with the print style sheet as well as the display, regular display.
Totally.
Cool.
Very active community. A lot of people are using it. It's one of the more popular ones out there. The three that we're talking about are probably, I would say, the most popular that people like.
Yeah. There was when we were researching this topic, there's a lot of them, but the major three that we're going to talk about are the ones that I've really heard people using. I haven't even heard people using some of the other ones, so we're going to... Go ahead.
We specifically chose these because we liked the sort of grid-based philosophy. Both Blueprint and 960 and YUI sort of focus at about 950 to 960 pixels wide, which is sort of the standard on the internet right now. You know, that's the sort of thing that will display on a 1024 by 768 monitor very easily with plenty of room.
With Blueprint, is that 950 pixels then? Can you change the size of it?
You can change the size, but you have to regenerate the CSS files for you. This is a very sort of static framework in that it has very set rules that it doesn't really want you to change. You can, there's generators out there and you can still follow the same basic thing, but it's 24 columns wide and 950 pixels. If you want any different, you have to go to one of these web apps that will generate a new Blueprint style sheet for you with different rules.
I see. So it's like a 950 centered, one column, and then you make the other columns wherever you want.
Yeah, the container that holds the 24 columns is 950 pixels wide, and it's got 24 columns in it.
Cool.
So I like it. I've been using it a lot, just because there's certain things, like I always felt like I was hacking it when I did like a centered layout with columns and stuff. And this, it's just very clear. There's smart people writing it. I don't, you know, feel like I'm hacking it. I know it's a good blueprint. I mean, we talk about frameworks. So there's a benefit to using frameworks, and that's why I switched to a CSS framework instead of writing pure homebrewed CSS code.
Right. Okay. Well, let's get on to the next one. The one that I've used more. I mean, I've used Blueprint, but I've used this one in the last two projects of mine. Not necessarily because it was any better or anything. I don't even know why. If you ask me, I couldn't tell you why I chose this one, but I ended up using it, and that is 960 Grid System. It's not 960.gs. So they have a custom generator just like Blueprint, where you could probably make different sizes and drag boxes around and things. But basically, it's very simple. It doesn't really mess with the fonts that much. It's just a 12. It comes in two flavors by default. You know, a 12 column grid and a 16 column grid. I haven't played with the 16. I stuck with the 12. But it's from the name, as you can guess, it's 960 pixels, which fits nicely on a 1024 screen. So small. You know, if somebody's got a smaller screen, and also if you have a wide screen, it scales out because it's centered. 960 divisible by 12. And so it makes some good blocks to use that way. And definitely. That's about it. It doesn't come with a whole lot. I mean, it does have a reset. It does. One cool thing is it has a Photoshop template for you. So you can take the grid, throw in Photoshop, design your site. Mm-hmm. And then when you're ready to go live or, you know, transfer it from a Photoshop file to HTML, CSS, it's really easy because you literally have the blocks, the little – it has like ruler lines. Yeah. I'm not – guidelines or what do they call those? Something like that. In Photoshop where, you know, your mouse snaps to it so you can make certain borders and areas. Nice. With that, and then when you're ready to go, you just kind of slice at those lines or whatever and go.
Yeah, there's similar resources like that for Blueprint too. I noticed there's like, you know, a page you can print out when you want to try and sketch a column design using the default Blueprint system.
That's handy.
Yeah, and sort of templates and stuff like that. There's also the same thing 960 has is a bookmarklet that you can install that will give the grid your container. It'll put the, you know, the sort of grid back there for you as the background, so you can see where the grids lie in your design. Mm-hmm. And maybe where you goofed up, because sometimes you have to be careful with some of these, right? Because they have to know little things like when are you in the last column of a row, and sometimes you'll forget to put that class in there, and then all of a sudden everything's like moved over to the left, and you're like, what's going on? And, you know, it gets funky.
Yeah, it's definitely very helpful. The way you use it, it's really simple. Like, you just div class grid, and then the amount of blocks out of 12 that you want it to span across. Like, I want to use 2 blocks or 3 or 7 or whatever. Yeah. And then you can have nested grids. And then they have – and that's about it. That's all you pretty much need to know, other than when you do a nested grid, you do need to do this alpha-omega thing. Alpha is your first part of the grid, and omega says this is the end of it, and now continue with the next area.
Interesting.
But other than that, that's all you need to know to use this framework.
To use nested divs in Blueprint, it's kind of funny. It's very unpicky about it. All you have to do is always let it know when you're at the last column of a particular row, and it's smart enough to figure it out. It's crazy.
So you don't need to do the first one?
No, there's never a first. It's like you just start. The last. So like so if I have a div that spans 10 columns, and inside that div I put another column and I just say span 5, it figures that out, and then I just say span, you know, 2 last, and it's smart enough to figure it out that that's the last one in that nested row, and that's where, you know, it ends that sort of nested part and goes back to the parent.
I just noticed that 960 grid system, they base their CSS reset on Eric Meyer's reset. Remember we talked about him in an earlier episode about he kind of sparked the idea of CSS resets back in the day, and so that's cool. Totally.
Another thing about Blueprint, I'm just kind of browsing along here too, is there's also some plugins for it. It has kind of a plugin system set up. So for example, there is a plugin to do a liquid layout if you want. So if you don't want it to be that fixed width, there's like a tab plugin for it if you want to do tabs with it. So pretty cool. But those are kind of basic ones. Those are like me and you got into that really easy to learn. They, you know, they're fairly straightforward, fixed width with, you know, X columns in it. If you want to kick it up a notch, the next sort of set would be the Yahoo's YUI, CSS files. It's part of the whole YUI developer suite, but really we're talking about the three CSS parts. CSS. To it.
So those three are like reset CSS, which is the reset makes it cross browser compatible. The base, which is going to do just, you know, kind of like the grid 960, and then they have the fonts that, you know, like what Blueprint does with the font stacks that make it more readable and
totally
gets rid of like the default font anyways. Is it Times?
I don't remember.
I know it's kind of, it's fairly ugly. The default, yeah, just regular font.
So these, I think there's also a base CSS, which is nice. It gives you kind of just good base styles for things like ULs and LIs and stuff. So like the reset kind of sets everything to zero, and then the base kind of sets up sensible defaults for every browser.
One of the things I noticed when I first went here is they have the cheat sheets in PDF ready to go right on the right, you know, right hand side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
the blueprint.
Yeah,
like blueprint. A cheat sheet that you could print out and like
totally
go on.
That's how I learned. Okay. That's how I learned blueprint. I read one tutorial and just printed out the cheat sheet because the tutorial set up some of the basic rules, like it has to be in a container div with a class container. You have to put last at the last thing, you know. Other than that, then I just printed out the cheat sheet and just ran with it and figured it out. It's really cool. Simple. So the YUI grid CSS is a little more complicated, but in a good way. It gives you more features out of the box. So for example, there's certain grids that you can start with. There's multiple grids in just this one framework. There's a 750 pixels centered. There's a 950 pixels centered. There's a 100% fluid layout, and then a 974 fluid. And then, you know, you can set up custom ones within the doc. This one seems a little more difficult to learn because it is very advanced. It's definitely, made by Yahoo. They're using it and they don't want something that's just really simple. I mean, they need complicated stuff because they're running complicated apps.
Well, I mean, it says right on here that Yahoo uses this in all, I mean, their sites. And I checked it out too. I went to the developer network and I viewed the page source and they are using YUI for their CSS layouts. And Yahoo's known for having, I don't want to call it a cluttered page, but they have a lot of stuff on their page. They have to have lots of blocks of different content and things. And, you know, they need something like this. And if they're using it, it must be pretty pro.
Yeah.
You know.
So, I mean, again, one of the benefits of a framework is that there are certain rules set up so that people can go in and find certain things easily because there's rules set up. That's why we like the MVC framework, right? Because I know where this functionality should be. Well, same thing here. I mean, if you had any Yahoo app that has a lot of stuff going on, if you didn't have sort of a set of rules that people had to follow, that CSS would be all over the place. I mean, one person who made this widget would have a totally different way of doing things. It would just be a pain.
One of the advantages, Blueprint and Grid 960, well, especially Grid 960, they're meant to be made for, you know, a 1024 monitor. Some of these, you know, smaller monitors and smaller screens, they might want the 800 by 600 crowd. Yeah. Or if your site appeals to a lot of older computer, you know, people with older computers, you might want to go with the...
Like a bank website is a classic one. There's a lot of older patrons that use a bank. I mean, like, you might debate, maybe not, you know, sort of older people are using Yahoo or, you know, Amazon, right. But, you know, old people are going to go to their bank.
Sure. Well, I mean, if you're
elderly people, I guess I should be more PC. I feel bad for my grandpa who's like, you know, older, but, you know, can out hike me any day of the week. So I guess I should be respectful.
Bottom line is, if you're looking at your Google Analytics and a lot of people are using 800 by 600, you can go to Yahoo YUI, check out their 750 pixel UI base, and go from there. And, you know,
definitely, definitely, it's good. I haven't played with it as much, but I know that it's a solid product. These were the big three. I mean, that we're talking about. These are the big three. There's a couple other ones that just seemed. One was like you had to get a license to use it in a commercial app, and I'm like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, we're not gonna do that.
I like Blueprint because it's hosted on GitHub too, so I followed them on GitHub, so I see changes when people are applying patches and stuff, which is really cool.
So another cool thing about the YUI is that if you wanted to go and add some more advanced features to your CSS framework, you wanted it a little bit more. Tight fit, but more advanced features, like you want to integrate JavaScript in with your CSS. They actually have a full entire developer framework here under the name YUI, not just the CSS stuff.
Yeah, totally.
So you could eventually get all your JavaScript, everything in one package. And go that.
Totally. If you're going to use YUI for your CSS, then it's like, well, if you want, you can just use the whole YUI suite and really do all sort of your development documentation and stuff in one place. I'd see no problem in doing that at all.
Yeah, and Yahoo, they say right on that YUI3, it says Yahoo's next generation JavaScript and CSS library powers the new Yahoo homepage. I mean, they are using this to power their site. So
totally
it's tested and tried and true.
Absolutely. Check them out. CSS Grid Frameworks. We like Blueprint and 960. We also like YUI, but we haven't tried it. So if you've tried it, let us know. Again, that wraps it up for this week of Face Off. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, you can go to faceoffshow.com/subscribe. We have lots of ways you can subscribe, whatever, you know, tickles your fancy. And if you want to leave feedback for the show, which we really hope you do, please do go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Let us know anyway. We appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next week.